Welcome to the Healthcare IS podcast, where we tackle today's challenges in the health IT workforce. Broadcasting live from Sacramento, California, here's your host, David Cushon.
Hello, everyone. This is David Cushon, managing partner with Healthcare IS. Welcome to our seventh podcast episode. We're really excited to keep moving forward with our podcast. We've been getting a lot of positive feedback. As always, today we'll have our two main segments. Number one, our tip segment, where we'll get into why people are getting into consulting. We'll share with you some of the thoughts that most people that we see consulting have had prior to getting into consulting. We know there'll be a lot of value there for you. And then secondly, we'll get into our typical interview conversation. Today that conversation will be with James Hill. James is a meds integration consultant who primarily works in the Cerner marketplace. He's been in consulting for 12 years. And along with this segment of interviews, James is somebody who has done consulting both at a consulting firm and as an independent consultant, and he's going to share some insights as to some of the things to look for, which might help you decide on one path over another. So with that, let's get to our tip segment for today. Okay, here we are at the tip segment for our podcast today. This segment is geared around why get into consulting from the standpoint of when you talk to consultants, as much as we do here at Healthcare IS, and ask people, why did you get into it? And you hear all the answers, over a period of time, you start realizing that most people get into consulting for maybe one of four reasons. And I just want to share some of those reasons with you today so that if you're thinking about some of the same things, or if you're looking to gain something a little different from your career, and you find that what you're looking for is in line with what a lot of consultants have found that they can gain from consulting, maybe this is something you'll give some thought to. So the number one reason, or I should say the first reason, not necessarily the number one reason, but the first reason is there's a lack of options in their local marketplace. So if you work for a provider IT or informatics department, then most likely the skills and knowledge you have would be of most value to other similar organizations. For most people, they live in an area where there are only a few other provider organizations that could possibly employ them. So people in a situation like this who are not willing to consider relocating look at consulting as an option because of the fact that they don't necessarily have to relocate to be a consultant. Now, you do have to travel, which is an issue for many people and a reason why they don't get into consulting. But if you've worked on several projects or you have a skill set that your current employer is utilizing right now, it's very possible that there are other organizations, not necessarily in your local marketplace, but in other parts of the country, that will be embarking on some of the same projects, and they could utilize your background and skill set. So that's number one, a lack of local market opportunities. Secondly, is people just want to do more of what they love doing. So for an example, what I see very often is somebody is in a role within their hospital IT department. They got a number of responsibilities. The job is okay, but here comes a new project. They get to be a part of a new implementation. It lasts for a year. It was new. It was exciting to them. The project winds down, and they see themselves going back into a day-to-day support, production-type support role. After having gone through something that they consider to be very exciting, that type of a role just doesn't appeal to them anymore. So they look for other situations that they can get into where they can do more of what they love, whatever that new project happened to be. So that's the second reason. The third reason is just to make more money. Because consulting requires travel, typically consultants are compensated at a higher rate of pay than people who are not consultants. Main reason is because of the fact that they're required regularly to get on a plane and travel and be gone from their home for 3 to 4 nights a week. And just because of that, in order to have enough people find that path appealing, the rates for consultants is definitely higher than somebody who just works in a provider organization on a day-to-day basis. So people that tend to be financially motivated will tend to go in that route at some point as well, again, if they're able to do travel on a regular basis. Then the last component I find is that people will go into consulting so that they have time for other things in their life. So what I mean by that is not necessarily if you're an employee of a consulting firm, but some people over time become independent consultants. And what they find, as I had mentioned a minute ago, is that they are able to make more money while they're working. And some people don't necessarily look to translate that into making more money overall over the course of a year. Many people take that opportunity to continually earn what they were earning at a hospital organization. And once they've earned or are on path to make what they're making before getting into consulting, they'll just look to leverage themselves and make more time or leverage the time they have and do some other things that they enjoy doing. So, for instance, if somebody was making $90,000 a year working for a hospital, they go take a contract that pays $90 to $95 an hour. They might find that they could work that 6-month contract, make the $90,000 they were accustomed to making in, say, 6, 7, 8 months period of time. And from there, take a couple of month break over the summer, do things that they enjoy doing before they go back and work again. So as a recap, we tend to find that the four main reasons why people eventually get into consulting. Number one, there's a lack of other career opportunities in their local marketplace. Number two, they want to continually be involved with projects that are similar to the ones that they've had the most enjoyment and professional satisfaction. Number three, they look to make more money, which they can attain through consulting. Or number four, they look to have more free time on their hands to do the other things they enjoy, and they can have more free time by working as an independent contractor as long as they're making more money while they are working. So if you find that you may be thinking some of the same things as some of the four reasons I just mentioned, maybe consulting is something that you should explore a little bit further. Okay, welcome to the interview segment of our podcast today. Today we're continuing our series and speaking with consultants who have worked as both independent contractors and worked with consulting firms so that they can share their opinions and experiences in helping our listeners make better decisions when it comes to the best step for them as it relates to consulting. Our guest today, I'm really excited to have. Our guest is James Hill. He's somebody I've known for quite some time. He has a really good reputation out in the market niche that he works. James has been in healthcare IT as a whole for the last 14 years and has spent 12 of those years as a consultant, 8 as an independent consultant. So he's got quite a bit of experience working for both a firm and a vendor, as well as being an independent consultant. James works primarily with Cerner clients across the country, specializing in medication processes and meds integration. James, welcome and thanks very much for being with us today.
Dave, thanks for having me.
So, how are you doing today? I'm doing great, thanks. I'm doing great. So let's just roll right into this. As I mentioned, I know you've been in consulting for 12 years now, eight of the last years as an independent consultant. Just kind of give me an idea as a whole. What originally attracted you to consulting as a whole?
Okay, so what attracted me to the consulting world was the flexibility and the ability to also move from client to client because, you know, staying in one place and being with the same people constantly, I found to be really boring. So for my personality, being able to go from site to site and do something different was really exciting to me.
That's good.
That's what the consulting world provided for me.
That's good. You know, I hear that quite a bit. Many of the consultants that I talk to and deal with find that they're just challenged and their level of interest is constantly peaked when they're able to go from project to project as opposed to eventually landing up in some operational support type role. So that's something we hear quite a bit. You know, I know that for a period of time you were working in the consulting division of, a vendor or two. And then you joined a consulting firm. So you left a vendor and went to a consulting firm. So, you know, at that point, what was it that made you feel like joining a firm was the best move for you when you look back?
In all honesty, it had to do initially with the financial piece. Because I didn't really know anything about, I'd have heard of consulting firms and things like that, but had never really thought about joining a consulting firm and really didn't know anybody who had worked for a consulting firm. So it was just by happenstance that I got a call while working as a analyst for a software company. I had gotten a call from a consulting firm and initially turned it down and then got another call shortly thereafter, and that's what really piqued and I began talking with them, and another consulting firm called, and then I was hooked at that point. But what attracted me was, like I said, the financial piece was the first part. And then it just felt like it was a little bit, I felt freer than actually working with the actual software company. And I felt like I would have the ability to kind of spread out. And so that's what attracted me.
Okay. And just to clarify for listeners, when you're talking about from a financial perspective, at the end of the day, does that just mean from a from an income standpoint, it was going to be able to increase your income at that time significantly?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it was significant.
Okay. Okay, good. You know, and I hear that quite a bit. So that's part of why you got into consulting. You know, maybe just, I think you answered this, but when, were there other, once you looked into consulting and you say felt a little bit freer, can you maybe share with me some of the things you heard at that time that, you know, you had been getting a number of calls? What was it that finally put you over the edge and said, this is the time to do it? You know, did anything, maybe nothing specific came to mind, but does any one thing or any number of things on top of what you've already said that finally got you over the hump to do this, get into consulting, does anything come to mind?
You know, again, other, I guess the, you know, I would have to say again, it was the salary increase. But as I was talking to people, because there was still some nervousness about, you know, once I did start asking people, other people outside of the consulting world on their opinions of going as a consulting and what did that really mean? And, you know, a lot of people actually felt like it was, it wasn't consistent, that, you know, being a consultant meant that, yeah, you could work and do well for a short period of time, but that on long term, it just wasn't going to be consistent. So that actually made me take a step back, but I don't know. It was just something that, you know, I just felt that I wanted to take the chance and wanted the opportunity. You know, when I spoke with them and they made it sound really exciting and me being able to, you know, go from client to client, and there were so many different opportunities to learn different things and to go different places. It just really kind of drew me in, and the fear of it not being consistent. I will say that a lot of the consulting firms, because when I initially started talking with them, I talked to them about becoming a full-time employee. So of course they had a lot of benefits that went with becoming an employee besides the salary part of it. And one of the things was what we call bench time, which means that if they don't have a client for me and I'm on what we call bench, which is just at home, not working, that they would continue to pay me until they got me back on a client site or a new client site. So that kind of made it a little bit easier for me.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. That's one of the key reasons why I find many people decide to go with a consulting firm to begin with. So it makes a lot of sense. So you join a consulting firm, 3 or 4 years later, you decide to go on more of a contract-to-contract basis as an independent consultant. So tell me a little bit about what evolved in your mindset or changed in your mindset after a few years that made you feel at that time going more on a contract basis was something that was more of the right path for you.
Well, it initially started, it was really about a year and a half, a little less than 2 years after leaving the software company to go into a consulting firm as a full-time employee. A little less than 2 years later is when I finally decided to go independent. And that was purely logic. And it was purely out of, I had someone who I had kind of taken me under their wing, and I consider them to be my mentor and the reason why I got into the independent world. And one of the things that he said to me, I worked on a project with him, and he was actually the project manager, but he was a independent consultant that had been in the industry for a very long time. And the one thing that he told me that stood out to me was that there was nothing that a firm or a company could do for me that I could not do for myself even better. And just, you know, over a period of probably the initial 6 month contract that I was on with him, over that period of time of just interacting with him and having conversations and asking questions, you know, he made it made sense. It made sense to me once I began to look at it from a business perspective and really just look at it very logical from a dollars and cents and bottom line. It just made sense to me to go independent. And, you know, the responsibilities and the things that I would take on was I found that they weren't so different than what I was already doing. So it was an easy transition for me.
Okay. Yeah, that makes that's very interesting the way you phrase that. I, you know, I have a lot of experience in working with consultants, so I know what you mean by that. And that's I'm not going to worry about taking a lot of time right now to dive into that, but we do have many blogs on our website that I might direct people who are in their early stages of considering consulting to look at, because when you say something to where the listeners hear that there's nothing that they do for you that you can't do for your own, that only carries value to our listeners if they understand all of those things. And so rather than elaborating on that, I'll just say there's a lot of stuff on our blog because I want to stay down the path of our conversation here. But let me ask you, James, knowing what you know now, if you were talking to somebody who was back where you were at the time when you joined a consulting firm, knowing what you know now, would you recommend someone start with a consulting firm, or is there, I mean, I know many people take that path and that's where they stay. Do you recommend they do that? Should they look at independent consulting a little bit differently? What are your thoughts if you're sitting with somebody today? What's that conversation like with them if you're giving somebody some advice?
Well, that advice would definitely vary dependent upon who I was speaking to, dependent upon their professional experience, their age, their maturity level, just where they are in their lives. But for the most part, what I will say is I'm a firm believer in people paying their dues and kind of crawling before you walk and walking before you run. So I would say that for most individuals, I would say possibly starting with a consulting firm and getting your feet wet would be my suggestion. But for someone who is a little bit more advanced, maybe a little bit older with a little bit more life experience, as well as discipline, doesn't mean that because you're older that you're more disciplined. So I think the discipline would be the bigger part, but obviously experience and maturity. For those people, I would say, again, I go back to there's nothing that someone can do for you or a firm can do for you that you can't do for yourself. And that has to do with, you know, budgeting and having the right types of people around you with respect to like a CPA or a financial advisor or even a legal help. And just being kind of comfortable in your own space where you have a foundation set, both from a professional and financial perspective. If you kind of have that foundation, then I think that it would behoove you to kind of take it to the next level and go the independent route right away.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I do appreciate the paying your dues standpoint. And I would just elaborate from my professional opinion that you do need, you may start off as a consultant and join a firm, but many times you only have the perspective or experience in one specific specialty area that you gain knowledge from while working at maybe one hospital, two at the most. It's when you get into consulting where you get experience at many different facilities or organizations, and that tends to lend to a much stronger background that makes the transition into the independent world a lot more smooth. So
And if you don't mind me saying, sure. That consulting for me, the business is as much about the interaction and a number of other things than it is just about how much you know or how much of an expert you are on that particular thing you know. That's good, but that does not make a good consultant. And even being a consultant, you have to go beyond even being an expert in what you know and take it a step further and be a business person. In order to be an independent consultant, you need to not only be a consultant, but you also need to be a business person.
Great point. Great point, James. Thanks for mentioning that. So kind of in wrapping up here, you know, we talked a little bit before, or the question I asked was, do you recommend somebody start with a firm or take an independent route? Let's assume for a minute that you're talking to somebody and they may come straight from the hospital, or maybe they've been at a consulting firm and you're talking to them and they've said, they've made up their mind, I'm going to go into contracting. I'm going to do this more of an independent consultant. They've already made their mind up. So we're not trying to give any more information or trying to convince anybody of anything. Let's say they've already decided that's the best route for them. But again, they're stepping in. They don't have any experience. What general advice with your 8 years of independent consulting experience would you have for somebody to keep in mind or think about, that being that they have zero experience in this area yet, they may not recognize or realize they're going to have to be paying attention to? What general advice would you have for them?
First thing, have a good CPA, financial advisor. Those two are the very first thing. The second thing that I would do is to have them also try and connect with other consultants or other people that they know who've been in the industry, who have a proven track record of doing it and doing it, you know, well. And have a conversation with them. Ask as many questions as many times as you need to. The third thing that I would say is to sit down and have a plan. You absolutely have to have a plan on budget, you know, how you see, you know, paying yourself and how you see saving, and really putting a plan in place. In that, you know, obviously with bench time and with, you know, vacation time and all insurance and all that other stuff that you can do for yourself, you still have to, you know, make a plan on how you allocate your funds and how you go about doing that, how you take vacation, all of that, because you can still do that, and you can still give yourself bench time and all of that, but you have to really plan and think about it. So I say you have to really have a plan, you know. That is truly the most important thing, but also surround yourself with those people who have expertise financially. Like I said, a CPA for taxes and financial advisors and even maybe some legal help, and then definitely get with other consultants. That has proven for me to be invaluable in talking with other consultants and not only getting leads for other clients and things like that, but also just the little things, the little, you know, tax breaks and the little nuggets of information that, you know, you don't even know to ask. But when you have a network of people, you find that people are willing to really share, and you find out more information than you ever thought you would ever know, even things that you didn't even know to ask.
Well, that's excellent advice, James. I really, really appreciate you sharing that. You've been an independent consultant for 8 years, which is definitely on the longer end of tenure for independent consultants. And I personally know that it's because you take it seriously. You view yourself as a professional. You know where your strengths are. And you also know where you need to get advice from others. And that whole combination, I know, has led to a really good career for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, that's all the time we have for our interview today. James, I know, again, I want to thank you again for being on the show. I know you provided the listeners a lot of key nuggets and principles that will definitely be helpful for the people that are seriously considered getting into consulting as a whole. So once again, thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
And Dave, thanks so much for allowing me to be a part of the whole process and passing along my information, because I definitely believe in paying it forward. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks again. Okay, that wraps up our podcast for today. Thank you very much to everyone out there listening to the show. Be sure to go back to our website at healthcareis.com and the blog section, where you can get the notes from today's show. Also, don't forget to catch us on Google+, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn for an inside view of HealthcareIS. With that, we look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks.